This week in Mitzvah Shem, Gimel Kislev will be the Yortzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Traketover. Rabbi Yisrael from Traketov was the son of Rabbi David. And Rabbi David was the son of the Rishner. So we're talking about an Einikol of the Rishner. And in pure Rishner form, Tzidkis, godless, which is known in the house of Rishner, the Dveikis, the Yehudim, Kedusha, Tzidkis, everything was there by Rishol Chakatavar. The Nesiv Shalom said that his father, the Beis Avram, when we speak about Rabbi Yisrael, he would always refer to him as the Heiliger Chakatavar Rebbe Zal Gezunt Sein. The Holy Chakatavar Rebbe, he should be healthy, he should be well. And that was a title that he didn't give to anybody else, the Beis Avram. Never spoke about any other tzaddik, living tzaddik, with that title. The Munkacher Rebbe, the Menachas Elozer, was a contemporary of Yisrael. He said, if there is still in this generation a Rebbe, that every single tnuah, every single movement which he makes is done with Yichudim, it is only the Rebbe from Chukta. He had a gewaldic tzura. His face was something to be seen. Akad ekach, that the Rosh Hashiva from Slobodka, Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, when he once saw the tzura of Rabbi Yisrael, he said, when I imagine to myself what the face of Mashiach Tzidkenu will look like, I think to myself Rabbi Yisrael from Traketov.
You heard that, by the way?
Yeah? Rabbi Belzer, the way that it was with Rabbi Yisrael was that he lived in the city of Traketov, and then he had to flee to Vienna, and he was there for about 9 years, number of years, and then from there he had to escape to the Nazis. Anyways, when he was in Vienna, so Rabbi Arla Belzer came to visit him. And he came with a shaila for Rabbi Yisrael whether or not he had something going on with his back, and the doctors wanted to take an x-ray. And at the time, the x-ray was like a new invention. And he was asked, the doctor told him he wanted to do x-rays of his back, Rabbi Arla Belzer. Rabbi Belzer came and he wanted to ask this shaila to Rabbi Yisrael. Struck it over. Should he go ahead with that procedure or not? What was the tzad natu? Arla said that my father never had an x-ray. And I don't want to do anything that my father didn't do. That's Arla. Everything by Arla was Messiah, Kedusha. So he went to Israel and he said to him like this. He said, the reason why your father never did it, because he never needed it. But here you came to ask the doctors something about your back. That's why you came here. Vienna was known to be a city for Reifim. And they told you to do this procedure. And he said, you should do it. And furthermore, when you see that with the x-ray, they're able to see what's inside of you, alachas kama v'kamal, you remember that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can also see everything inside of you. And Rilo, he walked away and he said, did you hear the words of Yisrael? Did you hear the words of the Traketover? That's what he took from it. Right away he went and he made an appointment to do it. You hear what he said? I'm such a hispilus from that. The Abishah could see inside of him. They could see with the x-rays. It just should remind you about the Rebbeinu Shem. That's how the tzaddik thinks. Everything, every invention, everything we should open in the world is to take a limit from that and to apply it in the Avodas Hashem. Salmos Chanukah. And one of the great tzaddikim of the time, from Gedolei Gaoni Yisrael, Rav Meir Shapiro, Tzaddik Kodesh Lebracha, the Shiva from Lublin, and founder of the Daf Yomi, of course. So he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael. He was completely, completely bolted to Rabbi Yisrael Traketov. He considered him the Tzaddik of the generation, Rabbi Yisrael, and everything was by his word. And he would come to him many times over the course of the year, Eitzes, Brachas. So once on Chanukah, Rabbi Meir Shapiro came and he was for the halakha and he was stepping his way in from the chassidim. And then he showed up again the next night. And he was stuffing his way in. So somebody said to him, why didn't you come for the hassle again? You know, try to get in and to see. So Amir said, by me, every single night that the Rebbe lights candles is different than the night before. No two lightings of the Rebbe are the same. Every night is an experience, and it's a gilui and kedusha and avodah, which didn't happen the day before. It's a totally new avodah, I see. And the edus was that when he would light the Ner Chanukah, afterwards, he did it with such a kedusha that also one of the great goyim of the time, Rabbi Meir Arik, famous goyim, Paisik, he says that when as soon as the Rebbe would start to say Vihinoyim after lighting the Ner Chanukah, he says Rabbi Meir Arik would cry just from watching the Rebbe, just seeing the avodah, just tears and tears would come gushing out of his eyes to see the Rebbe. Nobody could explain it. Sometimes you see a ma'amid of kedusha, you see a tzaddik's avoda, you cry. No, every time the Rebbe would say Vihinoyim, that the nearest Chanukah, Meir Arik, cry, cry, cry. He once came to a conference in a sefer of Rabbanim. And this also was in Vienna, in Elul Tafresh Pei Gimel. And at that time of the conference, so the weather was bad outside. It was very, very hot. And there was concern in the room that because of the weather was so hot, that it was going to be a little bit dangerous. So when he heard this conversation taking place, Rabbi Yisrael said, it's because of you, the Rabbanim, that's why you're responsible for this weather. And everybody was appalled and astonished as to like what the Rebbe was talking about. The Tzaddik Ador says something like that. So he said, because the Gemara in Shabbos says that any dayon who dons a din lamita, any judge that is machavin to the right psak, he becomes a shutaf, he becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in creation of the worlds. And he said, and that allows the tzaddikim to be able to partner in making the good weather. But because the dayanim today, the rabbanim, are so corrupt, he said, that's why the weather is bad. Talk about, what do they call it? Global climate change?
Global warming.
Global warming?
Or climate change, now it's climate change.
All the sheker, the
Climate always
change. Yeah.
It's called the world.
Just more kfir against Rabban Shalom. Climate change. Nothing is nonsense. So he said, after he made those fiery words, the next day the weather changed completely and everything was good again. Changed it. Sometimes what a tzaddik does, he doesn't chaswa mean to make accusations. Right? It's amtukas adinim. He's able to, with his diburim, he's able to sweeten all the judgments. So the next day, they were all concerned. Everything went away because the tzaddik spoke and then. Similar ma'isa, speaking about the tzaddik, you know, tzaddik goyiz v'kadosh baruch hu mekayim. And once a yid came to him, had a son who had a terrible disease, and he came begging and crying to the tzaddik that he should intervene and he should make a refuah for him. And the Chukatavar, he requested to one of the gabayim that this yid should be moved away and he shouldn't pester him anymore. So there was another Rav who was standing there, and he turned to the Rabbi and he said, "Bachari has a good taina." He says, "Tzadik goyiz v'kadosh baruch hu mekayim." So if the Rabbi will want that Hashem should make refuah for him, the Rabbi could do it. So Rabbi Yisrael said, "And who says that I'm a tzadik?" So this yid, he got very shaken up by that, and he says, and if the Rebbe is not a tzaddik, then who is a tzaddik? So the Rebbe says, yesh tzaddik, there are tzaddik. But he didn't let up. So he says, if they're a tzaddik, then tell us who they are. Mm-hmm. So the Rebbe became very calm, very composed. And he says, if you want the address to the tzaddik, I'll send it to you. Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. Obviously, the Rebbe saw that they were relying too much on him and he wasn't relying on the Rebbe Shalom. Mm-hmm. So, wanted him to remember that the real address for all Yeshua comes from the Rebbe Shalom. That's the Tzaddik. We'll lose sight of the fact that we think of the Rebbe Shalom many times as the Melech, as the Av, and so many other titles which you give, Adon. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Tzaddik. He's the Tzaddik of Tzaddik B'chol Adoris, we call him. Tzadik is Sarah Olam, that's the Rebbeinu Shalom. There's no greater tzadik than the Rebbeinu Shalom. Very interesting, Maisa. Somebody once came to him with a book which was called Chasidim HaRishonim, which was basically, it was like a history book, which talked about the Kabbalah and the Seidus, the Hishtalshalos of that from the Gaonim, earlier generations, up until Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And there was another book which was about the Toldos of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and his father, Rabbi Shmuel. And he brought it to Rabbi Yisrael to look it over. And he was slipping through the pages, daf after daf. And he turned to this Yid, who was a Rosh Hashiva, and he said to him, why did you bring me a book so small? So the Rav didn't know what to make of that comment. And he looked very puzzled. So the Rebbe saw that. And the Rebbe explained. He says, I was hoping that you would bring me a book of the history of all of Klal Yisrael, from beginning to end, dor achar dor, in great detail. You brought me such a small book, but I was hoping it would be much more content and cover much more time. And then the Rebbe said this, 20 years ago, I never would have made the comment I'm about to make. Because 20 years ago, the Batei Midrashim were filled with Avreichim who were sitting and learning Torah, and they were being mefalfel in the Shah HaMelech, which is a very difficult commentary on the Rambam. And there wasn't a need for history books written Beruach HaYahadus, he said. Because people were more concerned with Limud HaTorah than they were with other things. But today, that the Matzav is not like that. And Bacharim, they go, they dray from here to there, and they're interested in things other than learning Torah. And if they want to know history, where are they going to go? They're going to go to a Goyisha history book. So, but today, we need Mechabim who will put out Svarim by Yidin, which have a Yiddish Atam, done in a Yiddish way, so that the Bachrim and the Avreichim who are coming and they're learning things other than Torah, they'll have the proper Yiddish Ashkaf and perspective of things. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. We need more of these type of Svarim today than we ever needed before, because we need to present that to the Yiddish Olam from a wholesome Torahic perspective. That's what he told him. Very interesting Ashkafa. There was a Karlina Chassid who came to the Beis Medrash in Charkatov, and everything in Charkatov is very quiet and very dvekas, very dakas. And you know, in Karlin, everything is bekol dekoyle, it's a barakim, the davening is bekol and very loud and bedavka that way. And this Yid had a yortzeit, and he asked Rabbi Yisrael, the Gabbai, if he could daven for the Yomim. So they asked the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, yeah, he could daven, but he asked to daven derech Charkatov. He can't daven Karlin from the Yomim, you have to daven Charkatov here. Fine, so. So this Yid, he came in, and it was Shabbos, and he came to the Yomad, and he started. As soon as he came to the Yomad, he started davening. Everything just exploded. It was just bakolas. It was like he was in Karlin, right? And everybody was very worried that, you know, what's the Rebbe going to say? But the Rebbe didn't make any gestures. He davened from that mitchilas v'atzayif, and the Rebbe seemed to be okay with it. So afterwards, he realized what he had done, and he comes running over to the Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. He says, I know you told me before Shabbos that what I had to do. And the Rebbe says, no, it's not a problem. And in fact, during the davening, it looked like the Rebbe was even enjoying it. So he said, I understand, why not a problem? You told me before davening not to do that, and now I didn't do that. He says, because when you came and you asked me how to daven, when you said it, is because you were asking for an invitation and permission to do it. And for that, you didn't have. But to get up and to daven with the Eslavas in a way where you didn't know and you couldn't control it, that you have permission to do. And he enjoyed that because he enjoyed the Tmimas and the Eslavas, and he was able to see that. And for that, he had a nachas from that. So on Erev Shabbos, his minhag was to put on Bigdei Shabbos already from Chatzais. Chatzais and Ani was already in Bigdei Shabbos. So there was a Yid, a certain Talmud Chacham, who came to visit the Rebbe. And when he came into the Rebbe, it was already after Chatzais on Erev Shabbos. And he came also in with Bigdei Shabbos. So the Rebbe said to him, oh, so you also have the minhag to put on Bigdei Shabbos from Chatzais and on? So he said, no. Listen, I figured I'm coming into the Rebbe. I should come with Bigdei Shabbos, look over the Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, no, You don't come with Bigdei Shabbos to cover the Rebbe. You only come with Bigdei Shabbos to cover Shabbos. Not to cover the Rebbe. Before he would go to sleep at night, he would put his hand on the mezuzah. And he would examine all of his svarim. He would look at all the svarim. He would go make a gesture like this with his hand over all the svarim, as if he was like saying goodnight to all the svarim. And he says here they had thousands of svarim. And he said at one point he looked at the svarim and he said this. He says, whoever has taken one of you, I ask that you should please return it. That's what he said. Meaning he was talking to the svarim and he was saying, whoever took the sefer without permission should please return the sefer. That's all he said. It was like a tefillah when he was talking to the svarim, whatever it was. And he says the people who heard that they were mespoil mamish because he had thousands of svarim, and in one glance he was able to see that there was a sefer which was missing. In just one glance. And he made a tefillah that the sefer should come back. It should go back to its proper spot. And he was such a dvekistic person because, you know, in Trakatav, like we said, everything was kulu dvekis. These were people that they were living ruba de ruba in the heavens, and they had very little to do with what was going on in this world. So one time he came into the dining room, and he turned to the Rebbe and he said, "Oh, I see that there's a new tablecloth on the table. So she looked at him like with a face, like, "What are you talking about?" Turns out that was there for years. The tablecloth was there for years. He didn't notice it. Not for some reason in Vegas. For some reason he noticed it. And he said, "You know, I see that there's a new tablecloth." It was since the last time he noticed a tablecloth, which was the old tablecloth. But years had gone by. Another time when they were driven out of Charkatov and they came to Vienna, so they had to escape, and it took many years for them to get their stuff to be brought from Charkatov to Vienna. And finally, when all the kalim came and all everything which they had in that old house, which was brought to the new house, so the Rebbetzin, she put the house together again the way that it was back in Charkatov. It was only many years later that he even noticed, and he said, walked in the room into the house, and he says, "When did we get all the stuff?" And that was already many years after the stuff was there already. Didn't even notice that. Such a dvekis, he didn't even see what these things. So the Beis Avram from Slanim was once sitting by the tish of the Charkatavir together with Rav Meir Shapiro. And they were talking about, the conversation was about Aliyah and Madregas and going up and Avodas Hashem, that a person has the ability to do that. And the Rav Charkatavir said that a person is able to reach a Madrega that his eyes won't see and his ears won't hear things which are not necessary for Avodas Hashem. It's shy for a person to reach such a Madrega. That he'll be looking at something and he won't see it. He'll be hearing something and he won't hear it. Because he reached such a Madrega. The Chazal said about Avram Avinu that the letter Hey were five senses which were completely in control of Hashem. His eyes and his ears and his nose. He didn't hear, smell, or see things which didn't belong to Avodas Hashem. But the Charkatavir said, in order to reach such a Madrega, even a regular person can do that, but it needs the help of the tzaddik of the generation. So the Beis Avram was a big Rebbe. He was sitting there. And here the tzaddik had just said, in order to reach such heights, a person needs the kesher and the siyata of the Shemaya, but with the help from the tzaddik of the generation. So he turned to Rav Meir Shapiro and he whispered to him in a way that the Rebbe would hear. And he says, "Now what should those do? What should we do with the tzaddik of the generation if he hides himself in his room all the time? So what should we do?" That's what he said in a way that the Rebbe should hear. Because the Rebbe wasn't always available. These tzaddikim weren't vacant all the time. Spent many times behind closed doors. So, but the Charkatavir heard that. So not that he heard that, but Meir Shapiro said, turned to the Rebbe, and he said to him, "The Slanim Rebbe is asking, so what should we do? What should we do if the tzaddik is behind closed doors all the time?" So the Charkatavir went into a dvekis, and he was silent for a good while. And then he said like this, he turned to the Slanim, to the Beis Avram, and said, "Slanim Rebbe," he says, "your father," you said Avodah, he says, "your father went to my father, and he would wait many weeks just to see him. And you know what? He was kind of his shlemus more in the waiting to see him than he did when he saw him." That was his answer to that question. He was kind of more in the waiting for the Rebbe than he did in seeing the Rebbe. Very, very important lesson. People would come all over to ask him for refuas. He was a big bucky when it came to, an expert when it came to refuas. And he had a Talmud who was in medical school. And because he wouldn't show up on Shabbos for certain courses, so when it came time to take the test, he was missing a lot of information in regards to certain things about the brain and about the heart. And he came in and he asked the Rebbe, what should he do? When he was crying that he invested all this time and money and energy to get this degree, this diploma, certification, and then it wasn't going to work out for the test. He wouldn't know the information. So the Rebbe said to him, don't worry, you come to me. Come to me, I'll teach you everything you need to know. So he came with his textbook, he sat with the Rebbe, and he told him everything he needed to know about the brain and about the heart. And he says he passed the exam. He says it wasn't shaykh that I should forget. Anything which he said to me about it went straight into my heart, didn't forget anything, and he became a very famous doctor. Because he was taught this malacha by the Tractor. In fact, people would come and there were times where he would say, hold on a second. He would go into another room. He'd come out with a big book that was handwritten by him, and he would flip through the pages back and forth with all different types of formulas and medications and things like that he had in order to help people. One person came with a certain illness. And the Rebbe told him this. He says, go to a shaychet, and he asked him for an eye of a sheep, and put that eye in the nose where there was this, some type of infection, and you're going to have a refuah. And that's exactly what happened. It's crazy stuff that he would say to do. Of course, it had nothing to do with what was to be done. It was probably all just a cover-up for, whatever madrigas and ruchah kodesh which he had. But he was a bucky when it came to refuahs. The person, his name is Dov Moshe Spiegel, he tells over the story that he was born with like a polio and he could barely walk. It was very, very bad, even as a youngster. And so one day, the mother said to her husband, she says, there's a big tzaddik, it'll be Yisrael from Shakatov. She says, go to the tzaddik and ask him what to do to help our son. So finally he decided to go. And he met the Rebbe, it was on an Erev Shabbos. And this child was at home with the mother, and all of a sudden, he couldn't walk on his own. He hopped out of bed, and he was crawling. All of a sudden, he comes to the mother, he pulls himself up, and he's holding on to her, he's standing, and then he starts to walk. And all of a sudden, she sends a telegram to her husband in Chokotov saying that the child is walking. And it turned out to be at the exact time that he was in with the Rebbe. And the Rebbe gave him a brach, and he said he's going to be okay. He's going to be gay. Mamish on the spot, he was Paul Yeshua's for the child. Told over the story, and he says it took me a few years, and I had to get some whatever it was. The process was slow. He says already a few years later, he was already walking totally normal. Mamish nes nigla, nifla mamish. The mother ran into the streets and she started telling everybody the nes. She understood right away what she was seeing before her eyes, the nes that the tzaddik had done. For his Ptira, he said, a few days before his Ptira was the Yahrzeit of Aaron Shonobler, which we spoke about last week, who was a great anacle of his. And Rabbi Yisrael was very weak, and he was sitting on the bed. And he asked if anybody's doing a Suda to cover the Yahrzeit, because he was from that Geza. And when they said that they're making the Suda, so the minig was that the Rebbe would give like a coin to the person who would make the Suda. And he gave the coin to the person who covered the Yahrzeit Suda. And then he told over Rabbi Yisrael that his Alta Zeder, Rabbi Aaron from Chernobyl, said before he passed away that if a person sees that he's about to pass and he can hold out till after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos, he should try to do so.
What does that even mean?
Huh? tzaddikim. They know how to do these things. And that's exactly what happened. He held out until Erev Shabbos, after Chatzais, to be nifter. Although they couldn't bury him before Shabbos, it was late, they buried him on Sunday. But he held out till after Chatzais. And it was told over that before he passed away, so about 10 days before, the doctors, they took him in for an operation. And he already knew that if he needed this operation, that his time was soon. And he instructed that all of his money should be given away to tzedakah 10 days before his patira. Everything which he had should go to tzedakah. And then he called all of his relatives and he told them, and he saw that they were very broken by the matzav. And he told them they should be besimcha. And he instructed every one of them to say Baruch Hashem. The Rebbe himself said Baruch Hashem, k'shem shemavarchem ala toiva kach mevarchem ala ra. And he sat there with tremendous simcha on his deathbed. And they said that his face was beaming. His face was beaming with light. Shas patira. And he said that he couldn't even tell that it was that he was going to pass away. Because they were singing already Shabbos Nigunim, like they would do at the Tish. It was Erev Shabbos. They were singing Nigunim from Shabbos. And the Rebbe was like, it was as if it was at the Tish, with his hands and all the movements, all the Yichudim which he was doing. And he said that his koil was very loud, and his face was shining like the sun. And he says a few minutes before he passed away, he looked at every single person's face in the room with a tremendous ahava and a chemla, as if to say, like he was going to pass away. And he was singing a nigun. And as he was singing a nigun, he came to the word in the middle of the song, which said, Shabbos. And he said, Shabbos. And as he said that word, Shabbos, in singing that nigun, he had Yetzias Nisham. We'll see you again later.